The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, March the 24th, 2021. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. And we talk about copper, we talk about Europe, and the following companies: Ark Minerals, he's not happy, Cornish Metals, Rainbow Rare Earths, and Alta Strategies. And as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs. You can check out both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. You'll see lots of other content, articles. In fact, it's an article on Aquis Stock Exchange, and ShareSoc unveiled key findings of retail investor survey. There's a Novasight article, Bahamas Petroleum article, Altona Rare Earths, and don't forget, of course, our COVID-19 index, which is biggest rise of the day. Novasight Group at 2% to 740. Biggest faller, N4 Pharma, down 6.67% to 8.4 pence. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good, thank you.
Good. Let's go into, you were talking there about Europe, and at the moment, I'm just thinking politically, they're in a heck of a mess. And it just shows to a certain extent we're better out of that mess that they've created. Due to the vaccines, and I think they give themselves a double whammy there, because whereas we'll be unlocked, hopefully, this summer because of our vaccine program, staycations will boom, our domestic economy will do well, I think. No one will be going to the tourist hotspots of Europe, because they're so far behind in the vaccination programs, and it's in part what's down to them, isn't it? Really, because first of all, they said AstraZeneca, Oxford, vaccine wasn't any good because Sanofi, Macron said that because Sanofi failed, and now they want more of it. So it's like I say, you're way behind the curve. But you're saying now there's some light at the end of the tunnel for Europe. Is that right?
There is. Surprisingly, the market flash manufacturing PMIs are actually much better than expected for Europe, for the Eurozone. So the manufacturing, the services, and the composite, of course, all looking better than expected. And we're surprised by that. I mean, I suspect they're going to get worse again. I mean, the vaccine crisis in Europe really shows up the failings of the Eurozone. It shows that the Eurozone decision-making process is too slow. It's always too slow. It was too slow after the Asian financial crisis. It was too slow after the subprime crisis, often known as the global financial crisis. Their response for stimulating the economy is, I think, will still be too slow. But as it happens, they have had a pickup in manufacturing in February, in services, and of course in the composite. That's led by Germany, very strong. A manufacturing recovery in Germany. They hadn't suffered quite so badly with COVID-19 as many of the other economies, and they've been very quick to pick up again. And so well done, Germany. A little bit of a pickup in France as well, surprising there, but well done, France. Of course, those are the two powerhouses leading economic growth in the European Union. And we also see, there is economic recovery, but the oil price is telling us, the oil price collapse that we saw last night, telling us that actually there are headwinds ahead economically, and that maybe Europe, perhaps the lockdowns that are coming back into Europe are going to have more of a negative impact.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just thinking there when you say that all different kinds. Of course, they're going to be slow moving on anything. It's like having 27 people in a room trying to agree. You know, first and foremost, you've got France and Germany, powerhouses, different economies, different cultures, but then you've got other countries within that block, completely different sizes, completely different speeds of economy, different cultures. And if you look at our country, for example, there's even arguments about the disparity between the South and the North all the time. You imagine having 27 different countries, all different countries. Within those countries, you have those disparities as well. And you're trying to, you know, bring all that together to create one big moving part block. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. It's always going to be slow and bureaucratic. I mean, of course, it has some positives there, but they're never going to be as, you know, fancy footage and free and jumping around like we can now, like I said, to move fast and react to something. I just genuinely think, you know, that's the reason why I voted out. Nothing else. I just thought, it's not a workable situation. We are different cultures, different speeds, different, you know, economies. You can't play to your strengths when you have to be tied in to, you know, it's 27, 28 other different countries, you know? I just think it's fraught with faults. I know a lot of people think it'll fail anyway, but I'm sort of glad we're out. I don't know how you voted, but I'm just glad we're out, really.
Well, in many respects, the Eurozone functions very well, and in fact, there's relatively little corruption in it, or shall we say wastage. But the problem is there is a lot of influence from big business in the Eurozone. And to my mind, it looks as if the French, particularly President Macron, influenced the EU to get them to wait for a French vaccine that in fact never appeared, because the Sanofi vaccines failed. They didn't pass the test. So, of course, then the Eurozone were at the back of the queue and in fact some months behind everybody else in booking their vaccines from the, you know, the successful companies, the AstraZenecas and Pfizers of this world. That's very egg on face for these guys. It's like, do not be influenced by big business. Remember, I mean, the first instance I remember of it was when Dyson started complaining that the European Union were changing the rules on how hard a vacuum cleaner can suck. And of course, you know, the power that those vacuum cleaners were using. Yeah. And that was clearly aimed at Dyson and trying to protect the business interests of other vacuum cleaner manufacturers, which are mainly based in Europe.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, the Eurozone is, or the European Union is, particularly prone to this sort of lobbying. In fact, the Green Party have been incredibly effective. And I'm told by people who spend their lives reporting on stuff in the European Union that, in fact, the Green Party was the most effective lobby group there. And we see that in the green policies that are coming through. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those green policies. I'm just saying that there are these groups that are so phenomenally effective in their lobbying, and that's what pushes the Eurozone in certain directions.
Yeah. So listen, John, we came on just before the pre-record, and let's talk about copper first, because it leads on to another story. But you're talking about, we sort of know this, but copper is going for a new high. You reckon it's a bullish outlook, the story there?
Well, I thought I was the most bullish person in the copper market, but it turns out I'm not. It turns out the head of Trafigura's copper trading business, he's forecasting copper prices to go to $15,000 a ton. Now, he is a bit measured in it. He says it's going to be at some point over the next 10 years. And what he says is he sees demand as driving the market into a deep deficit. So that's where demand will significantly outstrip mine supply. And he says, you know, the market's, well, quite rightly, the implication is the market won't be able to respond fast enough to meet the new demand from electric vehicles, from electric vehicle charging points, offshore wind farms, all, you know, so many things require copper cabling, and you can't substitute that copper cabling really with anything else. Okay, in air conditioners you can put aluminium pipes. I'd much rather have an air conditioner with copper pipes, because it'll work much better. Okay, in housing you can buy houses where they put in plastic pipes, but I'd much rather have copper pipes in a house, because copper has antiviral properties and is just good for piping water around houses. But I know lots of builders use these PVC plastic pipes these days. Hopefully they'll last as long as the copper ones. But there aren't that many cases where you can actually substitute copper for aluminium and other metals, because you just don't really want to buy the product if it's not made with copper. So I do agree with this guy from Trafigura. I do think copper is going to go significantly over $10,000 a ton going forwards. And This is why the major mining companies are very busy in Zambia, Ecuador, Chile, places like that. And we're going to see a whole raft of new, smaller, faster companies coming through with projects, I think, in the next few years. And these companies are coming to the London market. So I would advise lots of investors to keep their powder dry and wait for these new opportunities to come through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, before we spoke today, you said you're a bit sore, and I thought you meant from an AstraZeneca jab or something, but it obviously wasn't that. But you're talking about as a fundraising ARC Minerals, and one of your favourites, ARC, you've talked about them quite often and regularly on the podcast and bigged them up, you know, gave them lots of air time. And you did a placing there you were surprised of. And I just did a search on social media, and quite a few people, not very happy. Someone said, so this is what they've quoted and retweeted ARC Minerals account, and they said, so this is a load of beeb. I can't say it on the podcast, but there's a tweet there from ARC Minerals that this is the strongest cash position we have been in for many years to be able to fund both 2021 and 2022 drilling campaigns and then some. This is a great position, and I'm extremely pleased with the arrival of an institution. And that was on the 10th of March, so they've done the fundraise. That tweet there suggests they wouldn't need to do a fundraise for years.
I was personally told by the CEO that they wouldn't need any more money for a couple of years. I noticed in this acquisition, in this statement, they talk about deeper mineralized systems in Zambia. Well, we know that they are more expensive to determine. We know that those sorts of things take much longer to bring through. So perhaps this is a reflection of needing to spend more money on more exploration. I'm not sure how they figure that, how suddenly that changed over the last couple of weeks. Definitely investors were pretty bothered by the agreement to cancel the options that management have. Some investors saw that as very negative. They saw that as really capping the downside for management at what they saw as quite a high price. I'm not commenting on that, but that's what they tell me. And then this acquisition that they're doing, I think ARC have got good license areas in Zambia. So I don't really understand the rationale of going into Botswana where exploration is expensive and where exploration is difficult, because they have to see through a lot more sand.
Yeah. So has your trust been broken here? What's your thoughts?
I'd rather not comment on that, Justin.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it probably has. Because, no, you're a big fan. It's annoying. So, okay, that's ARC. I mean, of course, there's been a lot of people defending it for some reasons, but and they probably defend it for some reason. But, either it shows one of two things. Either they have lack of foresight they had because they realize they need more money, or they're just not telling the truth. So either one, it's not good, but one's better than the other, I suppose. But okay, that's ARC.
Justin, I would say that we normally like the fact that companies raise money, because well-funded companies do better than companies that are a bit short of cash. But it is just a bit unusual to be told that no more cash is needed and then suddenly see it raised. But there we are. There's a lot of companies looking for cash at the moment in the mining sector, and that's partly because there's a lot more cash around than there has been for a long time.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, let's move on to the next company then. Cornish Metals. What's happening to Cornish Metals, John?
Well, they've been a bit quiet since they listed in London, but it's nice to see that they say that they're now starting drilling again at the United Downs project in Cornwall. I guess the rainy season in Cornwall is now over, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hopefully for anyone who's planning on going down there for a bit of a break. looking forward to better weather. So they're going to start drilling from up to five sites. I think that's good, because the last drilling they did saw 8.5% copper over 15 meters. Now, okay, I think they were drilling down the vein to some degree, because these are close to vertical veins. Also 1.2% tin in there. And I think they'll they'll find more of that. We've looked at the maps, we've looked at the proximity of of other mining that's happened in the area. And I think they're going to find a decent amount of tin. So I bought shares in Cornish in the placing they did when they listed the stock in London. They had to do that placing to get stock into the London market. And I'm optimistic. It's a stock I've put away. I'm not thinking about taking any profit on it. Not that there is much profit yet. I think it's I'm very encouraged to see some results come through.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff. CUSN is ticker there, Cornish Metals. And third one, Rainbow Rare Earths, RBW. What's happening there?
Well, again, on the back of what's driving copper and, you know, electric vehicles and offshore wind farms and all of that, all this machinery requires permanent magnets, or at least, shall we say, it all works better with permanent magnets. And those magnets use a lot of neodymium and praseodymium. And so Rainbow, talking in their interim results about that to some degree, they're talking about the growth in demand for these metals. They talk about, they managed to break even operationally at Gakara in Burundi, which is brilliant because they've been bringing in new equipment, new mining processes, and they're going to expand, ramp that up and expand it, presumably over the next year or two. I think Gakara will become a very profitable mine. It still suffers a bit of a discount on what the Chinese, or shall we say, the traders pay for the rare earth concentrates that they produce. But I think as they get to certain production levels, they can break out of those discounted contracts and actually get much more of the profit back for themselves. Of course, the real icing on the cake is this Palabora project, which looks really good. I mean, the rare earth mineralization is in chemical form of that project. Should be very much easier to process. I think they'll actually be able to process all the way through to a much higher value product. So really excited about that. And I think, you know, I think at some point in time, Rainbow's going to be worth an awful lot more than it is now. So even though the shares have gone up, I see this as a stock that was so far undervalued a while ago. And let's face it, when it was undervalued, it didn't have this Palabora project in there either. That you know, it was already a good business, and Palabora is a bit of a game changer. So I see Rainbow has the potential to become one of the world's big rare earth producers in future years. So it's not necessarily all going to be plain sailing. I mean, the Chinese are forever trying to undercut any new entrant into the market. But I still think Rainbow surely must be one of the favoured rare earth producers going forwards. And it wouldn't surprise me if some US fund came in to back the company, maybe the United States Exim Bank, which have offered to finance Blue Jay Mining up in Greenland. Maybe they'll come in and offer to low cost, you know, offer low cost finance to Rainbow Rare Earth for their expansion projects as well.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? It bagged in 5 months from October last year, up to from 4 pence to 20 pence. When is this? But it's come back a bit. It's back 15 pence now. But that's a good performance there, isn't it?
Well, like everything, there's always an opportunity to trade. But I do think there'll be moments in time when this thing gaps upwards. So we're going to, you know, we've got to run some more valuation models on this. Before we're sure of what the valuation is going to be. But I suspect we're going to see significantly greater value than the 75 million market cap that they have already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that. Anything else?
Alta Strategies, they intersected some more gold at Tabakorole in southern Mali. 2 grams a tonne over 16 meters, 5.8 grams a ton over 6 meters. Those are nice intersections. So I think Altus continues to add value, and it's nice because this is a company that had a very slow start when it listed about 3-4 years ago. But now it's doing very well, and I'm pleased to see that come through because of a good management team, solid people, and it's all coming right for them.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff, John. Thanks for that, fella, and I'll let you get on. I'm sure you've got some phone calls to make, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. What is it? BBC, that's Bahamas Petroleum, down 5.4% to 0.475. At 4, Dev Clever Holdings, down 3.85% to 37.50. At 3, KR1, down 3.6% to 2.15. At 2, Codal Minerals, up 4% to 0.138. And at 1, Shield Therapeutics, that's a non-mover, 34 pence. Okay, it's time for the top 5 most read RNSs. They are as follows. At 5, Bahamas Petroleum, high impact exploration update. At 4, Deep Verge, 3-year technology and commercial agreement with Microsoft. At 3, Amiga Holdings, regulatory update regarding scheme arrangement. At 2, Ark Minerals, proposed placing and acquisition. John talked about that in the podcast. He's not happy. And at 1, Novacyt, launch of Variplex CE Mark test. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.